The explosive new film, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, exposes secrets behind the government's takedown of General Michael Flynn.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
He told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire. They had to get rid of Flynn.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.
Every morning is a new opportunity to take in the news of the day and the challenges of life and try to make sense of it all. Right now, we've got a show that tackles the topics and asks what you think. So get ready to start your day with a bold look at history as it happens. Let's learn, live, and sometimes laugh together. It's the Mark Davis Show on 660 AM. The Answer.
All righty. 1 hour of broadcasting left in the week. What a beautiful day it is shaping out to be. I hope this weekend is filled with all kinds of blessings for you. In this hour, in just a second, we're going to hop into that busy State Senate District 30 race. At 9:35, we're going to sell it. Listen, this would be great under any circumstances, but an opportunity for you to walk into a local venue and see a famous musical act perform. Wow, are we even doing that? Answer is yes, we are. Arlington Music Hall next Saturday, the 26th, welcomes the Oak Ridge Boys, and Richard Sturban of the Oaks will be with us at 9:35. But I'll tell you what, Ed, we got more of your calls coming on various issues of the week gone by at 866-660-5759. But it all goes through the following turnstile. You ready? It's Friday.
Ah, I feel good. I feel good. Ow! I feel good.
I feel good. I feel good.
You want me to say I feel good?
I feel good.
I wouldn't.
So good. So good. I got to hear.
There are a couple of reasons for this. Everyone, it's always great to celebrate old Jarrett Reddick and the boys of Bowling for Soup in 1985.
Debbie just hit the wall. She never had it all. One
but there's a deeper reason.
Husband's a CPA. Her dreams went out the door.
This is part of the broad and multi-layered Denton, Texas music scene, the greatness of Bowling for Soup. And it is a Denton flavor that we will explore as we take a look, exploring further in the State Senate District 30 race. As you know, Pat Fallon, who is in that seat, leaves it to go be 4th District Congressman, successor to John Ratcliffe. Now we need a successor to Pat Fallon. And, you know, Shelley Luther's in there. You know, Drew Springer is in there. It is Representative Springer and this gentleman who are the only people running who actually currently have elected office jobs. And that is the mayor of Denton, the Honorable Chris Watts. Pleasure to have you, sir. How you doing?
Thank you, Mark. Thank you so much. That song brings back a lot of memories from the mid-80s.
I'll bet it does. Because it's funny because it's all very generational because these guys are probably about, you know, 20 years younger than me. Springsteen, Madonna, Nirvana, when MTV played videos. So give us the road of you. As the saying goes, you weren't born in Denton, but you got there as fast as you could. I think you're like a baby. Well, tell me about the childhood and the life and your path to now.
Sure, you bet. Thank you, Mark. Yeah, I got here as soon as I can. Don't remember it. I think we moved here when I was one. So I consider myself a pretty much a native Dentonite. Challenging childhood, grew up with a single mom. We struggled financially, worked hard through high school and college. Actually, at Sonic Drive-In, the only one in town for 10 years, put myself through college and got a couple of degrees, went to law school, practiced law for a little bit, but I've had a real estate investment company for about 30 years that's been my primary form of occupation. Just realized that I wanted to give back to the community because the community certainly gave back to me as they supported me growing up and really believed in me, quite honestly, before I believed in myself, and decided to do that through public service. Been mayor for 6.5 years and served on city council for 6 years before that.
So it is Denton, and if you go to your website, which is Watts for Senate 30, W-A-T-T-S, Watts for F-O-R, wattsforsenate30.com, there it is, Chris Watts, conservative Republican, Texas Senate 30. How conservative can a mayor of Denton be?
Well, that is a great question. A mayor can be pretty conservative in Denton. Let me just tell you a couple of things we've done. Over the last 5 years, we've lowered the tax rate by 10 cents, which is about 14.5% to 15%. And this year, our proposed tax rate is below the no new tax rate that is prescribed by the state is calculated by the appraisal district. We've lowered utility rates. We've cut programs we've cut costs without cutting any of the core services that our citizens have come to rely upon. So I think we've done really well preserving those conservative values in Denton. Of course, you know, there's been a lot of talk about defunding the police recently. We are increasing the police budget to add officers, to add a mental health unit, so when officers are responding, they have the best trained people on site to deal with people who are struggling with behavioral health issues and to ensure that the safety of those that are involved in that call and the safety of the officers are paramount.
Let us take a walk through some of the issues that have probably come up in the campaign, that will certainly come up in any joint appearances you have, certainly come up if you make the legislature. Let's do some Second Amendment. What's your gun rights index card? What are your Second Amendment thoughts?
Well, as a teacher, I mean, I could give you the talking points, and I will, but they're really steeped in a personal experience. When I was 17 years old, outside a restaurant, talking to a friend of mine, was basically we were stuck up, held up, armed robbery.
Wow.
Guy runs over, puts a 9mm in my side, and we go inside, and I certainly didn't think I'd be sitting here talking on the phone to you today at that point.
Mm-hmm.
So I think it's imperative that we continue to provide the rights to the citizens of Texas to be able to protect their families, their communities, and themselves. And part of that is to look at constitutional carry, to bring that forward. It didn't really get a hearing last legislative session because a bill was only passed in the House, and that's something that would be considered in the Senate as well.
Let's roll to abortion. Everybody's talking about pro-life credentials. Let me give you the one barometer, and then we can go wherever you want. Are you in favor of the complete overturning of the Supreme Court of Roe versus Wade?
Well, that's a good question. I've learned in my political service, in my community service, to look at policies that I don't have right in front of me. I think it needs to be a state's rights issue. So, yes, in that respect,
yeah.
Yes, that needs to come down to the states.
Then that would be yes.
The states can decide.
Right.
Yes.
That it's funny. A lot of people misunderstand that. They think that overturning Roe v. Wade means like there's like some national abortion ban. Not at all. If the moment Roe v. Wade is overturned, Texas, Alabama, California, Maryland, Michigan all get to figure out what they want their abortion statutes to be. And if that's a yes, that's a yes.
That's correct.
All right. What about some other things? I mean, let me ask everybody, because here you are in actual public office now. How have all the lockdowns and, boy, I bet there's some bar owners who you're familiar with dying on the vine in Denton. And how's the reopening going from your perspective and statewide, since you seek a state-level office? What are your thoughts on the path we've taken towards some type of reopening?
Well, and during the break, I heard the governor talking about the new order that he issued just a day or so ago.
Mm-hmm.
And we need to get everybody open. In fact, I was just telling someone, you know, my living is made by renting apartments and houses. And that would be like somebody walking up to me and saying, you can never rent another apartment again, basically cutting off all income. We've got to get everybody open. We've got to get everybody open at as full a capacity as we can. I really don't understand how we can have restaurants and things going to 75%, but we can't figure out how to let those who own bars find a way to fit within those parameters. So I'm fully in favor of we've got to get it open.
Early voting underway now. The actual election is 11 days from now, Tuesday of week after next. Is there anything in your resume or anything on your list of positions that's either just you or only you and maybe a few other folks? Is there something that singles you out as a view that the entire rest of the six-member field might not hold?
Well, I think it's my experience at actually legislating to where it affects people where they live on a daily basis. As mayor, I see, and my community sees, as legislation is passed in Austin, the impact on the citizens on the ground. One example is last legislative session, they gave a $200 million cost savings to the telecom industry by cutting franchise fees for cities and local governments. Those costs are passed on to the taxpayers because they have to make up that money. And for Denton, it was about $600,000. But in that course of that legislation, they didn't ask for anything in return. There wasn't any memorialization in the legislation to say, hey, pass those costs on to consumers. And more importantly, especially in District 30, because a lot of it is a rural area, there was no ask for, can we begin to implement a program to provide high-speed internet connectivity to the rural areas whose health care, we're in a health care crisis there. They're going to need high-speed internet to do telecommunications, telemedicine, and also for possibly remote learning, and then just to improve their ability to use that technology in their agricultural businesses. So I think it's the business experience. I think it's the negotiation experience. I think it's dealing with constituent issues for 12 years and seeing the direct impact and also seeing the direct benefit of finding a maximum solution.
The mayor of Denton, Chris Watts, is running for Texas Senate 30. The election is the 29th. Finally, it's the big touchstone question that I offer to people. They can answer it however they wish. How's the Trump presidency working out for you?
I think the Trump presidency is working out well. His policies have created the economics boom that we've seen. Now, it fell off a cliff with the pandemic. Mm-hmm. I know one in particular when he withdrew out of the Paris Climate Accord. Of course, at City Council, there was a resolution to adopt that, even though we can't really do that.
We
voted against that. I voted against that. So we're committed to renewable energy, but we also have a 200-megawatt gas-fired diesel electric generation plant to help us when the wind's not blowing and the sun's not shining.
Well, and that is the thing. I mean, for everybody that opposes climate extremism and the fiction of the Paris Climate Accords and the fiction that the fires in California are caused by that, it doesn't mean that we're hostile to renewables. I mean, you can drive up UNT up 35, you got a bunch of big propellers going on the wind farm up there. We're in favor of exploring anything that works.
Yes, and plus it's an economic decision. I mean, renewable energy sometimes can be less expensive until it doesn't show up on the grid. And then you can look at $3,000 to $5,000 a megawatt hour, and having that gas-fired generation plant helps us hedge that to save our utility customers' costs.
The website is Watts, as in Chris Watts, mayor of Denton, wattsforsenate30.com, wattsforsenate30.com. Pleasure to see you, sir. Thank you. Appreciate it. Best of luck and good safety and good health to you on the trail, and I look forward to talking to you soon.
Thank you, Mark. I appreciate it.
God bless. Denton Mayor Chris Watts in that busy 6-member field for the Senate District 30 vacancy in Texas. All righty, 921. Mark Davis, 660 AM, The Answer.
When a girl changes from Bobby socks to stockings.
Okay. Frankie Avalon.
And she starts trading her baby toys for boys.
1959.
When that one shy little sleepy head learns about love and its lilt, you can bet that the change is more than from cotton to silk.
Some challenging rhymes there. Yeah, the Frankie Avalon catalog. Venus, of course. Beauty School Dropout. Bobby Socks to Stockings. Frankie Avalon, still around, 80 years old. Hey, listen, there are some things that are around in the world of films that you can see that are uplifting, and I'm so glad to tell you about it, especially things that are politically inspiring. And this election in November, the most consequential, you think, since the 60s, maybe since the 1860s. The stakes are high. The battle lines are stark, and I'm very, very pleased to talk to you about the latest film from our friend Dinesh D'Souza. It is called Trump Card, an expose of the socialism, the corruption, the gangsterism that defines the Democrat Party, whether it's the creeping socialism of Joe Biden, the overt socialism of Bernie Sanders, the radicalism of AOC and the squad. This film reveals what is really unique and dangerous about modern socialism. Not so long ago, you'd sort of use that as a loose epithet. Oh, I think Uncle Bill's kind of a socialist, meaning he was kind of wacky, kind of on the fringe. Now those fringe beliefs are front and center in today's Democrat Party. We can work with President Trump to stop it in a film called Trump Card. Go to watchtrumpcard.com. Go to watchtrumpcard.com and pre-order your video on demand or in DVD form. You don't want to miss this great new film by our friend Dinesh D'Souza. Pre-order your DVD and video on demand now at watchtrumpcard.com. That is watchtrumpcard.com. All right, so speaking of venues and appearances and things like that, there was Mayor Watts talking about Denton. Matt Howard on Channel 8 last night gave us a little picture of Fort Worth.
In Fort Worth's West 7th, survival doesn't look normal. Bars that can't afford it, they've transitioned to restaurants to stay alive. But those that can't,
they're still not able to open at this time.
got no favors from Governor Abbott Thursday.
It was an awful day today for the bar and nightclub owners across the state of Texas.
Michael Klein is president of the Texas Bar and Nightclub Alliance, representing thousands of bars across the state, but he's watched many go under since March.
I mean, you know, people are just, you know, at their end, you know, both financially, emotionally, physically.
Abbott did say this, though.
We are focused on finding ways to get them open.
Then here's what you do. You get them open. I've maybe it's just the weeks and months of being worn down by this or talking to actual bar owners and proprietors. I know the imagery you think of is some crowded bar, everybody nut to butt, breathing all over each other. Ah, let me have another tequila shot. I know. But that's not the way it needs to be. These bar owners are ready to space out the tables and limit the crowds. And if other types of businesses have been allowed to do it, why not the bar owners? I know it's a long slog. It's a lot going on. And I liked a lot of what Governor Abbott loosened the reins on yesterday. But this is still something that needs to where liberty needs to take hold. All righty. How awesome is this? Richard Sturban of the Oak Ridge Boys. The Oaks are coming to town next weekend. You can walk into a building and see them. Holy cow. Tell you about it next. Mark Davis, 9:30. Gordon Griffin is in the newsroom. TV.
But the one that I love is from the USA. It's standing next to me.
All together now.
My baby is American made.
Is joy in the air for a number of reasons. First, what do we do all day in the talk show world? Talk about when are we going to get back to normal? What are we going to sort of be able to do? Maybe 25,000 people at a Cowboys game. Hey, at least it's human beings. At Arlington Music Hall next weekend, a week from tomorrow on the 26th, it's the Oak Ridge Boys, and you can actually go. And what a pleasure it is to take a look at that Oak Ridge Boys legacy. You know, Joe Bonsall, you know, Dwayne Allen, William Lee Golden, he's the one with the beard. And Richard Sturban, he's the one with the bass voice. And he's here. What a pleasure to say hi to Mr. Sturban. Welcome, sir. Mark Davis, how you doing?
Well, Mark, thank you so much. And it's a pleasure for me to be on your show today. It really is.
It's an enormous joy. And listen, just the notion of walking into a venue and seeing anybody is so great. When have you guys been able to sort of crank it up and get back on the road?
Well, since the middle of March, we've had just a handful of dates, just a few of them scattered here and there. Most of our dates either canceled or were postponed into next year. And the date in Arlington this next Saturday, the 26th, is one that did not cancel. So we're so thankful that they're having us. We are chomping at the bits because we love to get together and sing. That's what we do. And for the last 6 months, we have not been able to do that very much. So we're excited about coming. We're excited that we're going to actually have a live audience, and we're going to do our best to make it a great evening. You know, we're very excited about coming.
Well, I can only imagine, and I've been hearing about the, you know, sort of touring life with the Oak Ridge Boys. You guys have never been much into the plains. You guys like the old school feel of the bus. I mean, so what's touring life like in 2020 for you?
Well, unfortunately, there hasn't been that much of it, you know. but as we get into the fall, things looks like they're going to pick up a little bit. And next year, we're going to have barring anything unforeseen, we're going to have a great year. But we love touring, as you mentioned. We love touring in the bus. You know, the four of us. I think one of the reasons for our success and our longevity is the fact that we have a special relationship that exists between the four of us. We actually like each other. We're good friends. And so we travel in a bus together, and that's the way we like to go, you know, we'll be riding in our bus, you know, next week, you know, when we come to Arlington. That's the way we do it.
Where are you living these days? Where are you?
Pardon?
Where are you living these days? Where are you?
We, all of us live in the same town, in a place called Hendersonville, Tennessee.
Yes, absolutely.
It is basically part of Nashville now. It's a suburb of Nashville. And Nashville has grown so much, we've actually become part of Nashville here. We really have.
Very cool. And it will be Mr. Sturban, Mr. Golden, Mr. Allen, Mr. Bonsall. And that incarnation of the Oaks is sort of took shape because the group itself has a legacy that stretches back to the 40s. But when you guys and the familiar incarnation of Oak Ridge Boys songs that we know sort of took shape in the 70s, do I have my calendar right that not long after you joined the group, did all of you go tour the Soviet Union with Roy Clark?
You are absolutely correct. Jim Halsey, who's been our manager for well over 40 years now, he arranged a tour for us to go to the Soviet Union with Roy Clark. You know, and it was back in the days when things were not like they are today. I mean, the Soviet Union was still pretty much steeped in communism, really. And we had to be very careful about it, but it was a very interesting experience. We were able to go and see what life is like in a country where people do not have freedom. And it really impacted us, you know. And I remember up to that point in my life, I was in my 20s at the time. And up to that point in my life, I had never bothered to even register to vote. And I'll tell you, the first thing I did when I got back home, I became a registered voter, and I have not missed an election since.
Whatever
and
that, it takes.
I intend to exercise that privilege again this year.
Well, let's spend a moment on that. What is your thought? What are the crowds? I mean, obviously crowds within a loose sense, but you know, in the Trump era, the country music audience, that's vastly changing. Not everybody is of exactly the same politics and any kind of country crowd, maybe even y'all's. How much are you guys comfortable, you know, talking issues, or do you try to stay like the heck away from all of that?
Well, you know, the best way that we figure we can handle it is you know, we mentioned that we do have problems in this country. You know, I think everyone knows, you know, where we stand politically. You know, we all lean pretty far to the right. We really do. But we try to stay out of that in our concerts. I think people come to concerts to get away from that. And so we try to honor that. And I think what we do, basically, you know, with the gospel music background that we have, basically, we tell people that, you know, we have problems, and the only real true answer to our problems is the man upstairs. And we talk about Jesus, and we sing gospel music. We feel like that's our best way to handle this situation, and I think our fans enjoy it that way.
You know they do. Richard Sturban is here from the Oak Ridge Boys, and about 8 years ago, you came out with a wonderful book, a chronicle of your life, called From Elvis to Elvira, Your Years on Stage. Let's spend a moment on the Elvis part. What was the intersection of your career that coincided with the King?
Well, you know, I sang in the group for about 2 years prior to joining the Oak Ridge Boys. I sang in a group called J.D. Sumner and the Stamps Quartet. And for about a year and a half of that time, I was able to sing with the King, you know, of rock and roll. I was very fortunate. I was in the right place at the right time when J.D. and the Stamps got the gig, you know, singing with Elvis. And, you know, back then, Elvis was the biggest star in the world, I think. You know, his tour was the biggest tour in the music business, and to be a part of it was very, very exciting. You know, I had some very fond memories of the times I spent with Elvis. You know, I got to know him just a little bit, and it was a great experience. And I'm glad now that a lot of years have passed, and I look back on that, I was glad that I was able to experience that. But, you know, while I was singing with Elvis, something happened to me that changed my life. Mm-hmm. I got a phone call one day from William Lee Golden, as you mentioned, the guy with the long
beard. The one with the beard, exactly. Uh-huh.
Yep. But back then, when he called me, he did not have that long beard. He was Mr. GQ back then.
Oh.
But he said that the bass singer that was in the Oak Ridge Boys wanted to leave the group. He wanted to get off the road. The Oak Ridge Boys wanted to know if I would be interested in taking the job. Now, here I was. I was singing with Elvis. I was singing with the King of Rock and Roll,
right.
Apparently on top of the world. But I had to make a decision. So what did I do? But, you know, at the same time, I was a big fan of the Oak Ridge Boys. I believed in what they were doing. And I felt like the group had a great deal of potential, and I really wanted to be a part of it.
Well,
so I made the decision. Back in 1972, I made the decision to leave Elvis and to join the Oak Ridge Boys. A lot of people questioned that decision. You know, how could you do that? But I really believed I was doing the right thing. And I think now, almost 50 years later, when I look back on it, I made a pretty good decision.
I think you did. I think it worked out well for everybody. And I was thinking in preparation here, we are in the great, great company of Richard Sturban of the Oak Ridge Boys. And when you think about moments of American music and the iconic ones, or music by anybody, the Beatles and She Loves You, Yeah, 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 Sinatra, I Did It My Way. And then, Richard, you also have this.
Giddy up.
Take me into the studio for the recording of Elvira, and how did that go? And I mean, there are folks walking around who have no concept of anything, but they know the Papa Mau Mau. Give us the history.
Well, you know, a gentleman named Ron Shanzi was our producer. He produced most of the number one records on the Oak Ridge Boys. And Ron found this song for us. You know, it was written by a good friend of ours, actually, that is a neighbor of ours here, a guy named Dallas Frazier. And Ron, one day, we were preparing to do the album. We were in his office. He played Dallas Frazier's version of Elvira for us. And we looked at each other and we said, wow, I think this is the song we've been looking for. And sure enough, a few days later, we got into the studio and we recorded the song. And you could tell when we were in the studio recording the song that it felt like it was going to be a big hit. You know, the musicians, they were all smiling. Everyone got into it. And it went down so easy. We did it in just two or three takes.
Yep.
You know, and I could tell, you could tell it was going to be a hit. You know, but we never realized how big until the first time we performed it live in person. In Spokane, Washington, of all places, we performed that song live, and people went crazy. We encored it.
That's so tremendous, because I ask so many people, you know, about huge hits, and they go, oh, we had no idea. I mean, it was a huge surprise, and I know the degree of it had to be, but it sounds like you guys there in the studio finished that up and said, you know what, this one's going to be big.
We did. We felt like it was going to be a hit, but we didn't know how big. You know, it took us actually doing it live and in person to figure it out. And we were doing a West Coast trip, and through that whole West Coast trip, people went crazy over the song every time we did it. So we called our record label and said, we've got to get this thing out because we have something very, very special on our hands here.
Well,
and you can count on the fact when we come to Arlington, we're going to do Elvira.
I think so. I have a feeling that which means you're going to get some wonderful, wonderful Richard Sturban moments on that. And then the ba-ba-ba-ba for Bobby Sue, I assume that's on the set list. How do you guys go cobbling together which of the big hits to do, what kind of gospel stuff to do? How do you compile the actual show that rolls out here at Arlington Music Hall next week?
Well, first of all, we kind of pride ourselves in the fact that we very rarely do the same show twice. You know, we have a wealth of material to pull from. And Joe Bonzo, he's a spokesperson for our group. Joe's the guy with the high voice. He sings the lead vocal on Elvira. He's taken that responsibility. He started doing it many, many years ago. And he makes up the set list every day, you know, when we're on the road. And during the afternoon, he sends the set list out to us. We check it out. If any one of the four of us want to make some changes, we do. But very rarely do we change anything because Joe has a handle on what he really feels. He has a grasp on what people really want to hear. We pay a lot of attention to requests. In this day of social media, people, they'll get on Twitter, Facebook, or wherever, and request songs for a particular show. So we try to honor those requests. And just in general, we know there's certain songs we've got to do. Of course. Of course, Elvira, we mentioned that. You know, Y'all Come Back Saloon, our first hit ever. Some songs have to be on every show, like William Lee Golden singing Thank God for Kids. What a special moment
absolutely.
That is in our show.
Absolutely.
You know, but Joe makes up the set list, and like I say, he has a feel for what the people really want to hear.
Well,
and it's worked out very well. He has a base in his computer, in his laptop, He has a copy of every show that we've ever done. That
wow.
Since he started doing, and he looks back, and we're going to a place that we've been before. We try to change it up. So it was a little different than it was, you know, the first time we were there. So, but it works out pretty well doing it that way.
No, I tell you what, tickets right now at arlingtonmusichall.net. It is Saturday, and I believe it's two shows. There's a 5 and a 7:30 or 8 or something like that. So just, boy, look at you guys.
A couple of months ago, they got back to us and they said, you know, we're having a difficult time here, you know, with social distancing, you know, and the only way we can really make this work is if we do two shows. And we said, absolutely.
We're in.
Yes.
So there they are. Mr. Sturban, William Lee Golden, Dwayne Allen, Joe Bonsall, the unforgettable, iconic Oak Ridge Boys. What a pleasure to meet you, sir. God bless you and your compadres there in the Oaks. You've given me a lifetime of entertainment, and I can't wait to welcome you to town. And I know everybody's looking forward to seeing you at Arlington Music Hall.
Well, thank you, Mark, for doing this. Thank you for promoting the fact that we're coming to town.
Hey, listen.
When you do that, you help us, and we appreciate it. Thank you very much.
Richard Sturban of the Oak Ridge Boys. Ticket to the Arlington Music Hall a week from tomorrow, but tickets now at arlingtonmusichall.net. Be right back.
She's the best part of my world, along with all my dreams. I'm setting
from the same 1981 album that gave us Elvira, Let the Oaks Take Us Out. That was so cool having Mr. Sturban on.
Yes, I'm set.
So as we head into the weekend, let us lift up in prayer the wisdom of Jerry Jones and these Dallas Cowboys that we want to watch, we want to root for. Guys, if there's some social justice exercise you guys want to do, knock yourselves out. But leave the anthem alone, please. We're not asking much here. Well, I tell you what, we've asked you to listen this week, and you have, and we appreciate it. All of us, producer Rhonda K. Moreland, at producer Rhonda K., R-O-N-D-A, capital K. Shane Bell of the Shane Bell Band, technical guru skills and music extraordinaire, Shane Bell Band on Twitter and Facebook. And news ace Gordon Griffin. God bless our country, our troops, our families, our flag, our cowboys. Do the right thing. Stars, go stars. You ain't kneeling. Appreciate that. All kinds of blessings to you this weekend. See you on Monday. I'm Mark Davis.